Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Lickin' on Lending, a weekly mortgage market update providing up-to-the-minute information on interest rates, loan programs, and hot industry news relating to the mortgage industry. Brought to you by Mortgage Banking Solutions, enabling executives to take their business to the next level. To participate in today's program, our guest call-in line is 646-716-4972. And now, here is your host of Lickin' on Lending, David Lickin.
Welcome, everybody. This is David Lickin, and it is March 7th. We're broadcasting live from Central Texas in Austin, Texas, to be specific, and through the marvels of technology and the Internet. And many thanks out to Blog Talk Radio for their ability to make this all possible. We thank them as we bring to you each and every week an update of what is going on in the industry, and certainly nothing is more significant than loan officer compensation and the changes that we are seeing happening. For many of you, you are already tuned in and aware of the LinkedIn discussion group, Loan Origination Compensation Changes and New Rules. If you're not, go out there, grab it. We're going to be talking about some of the comments, addressing some of the questions, some of the comments that are out there today. And also, we have a special guest today to talk to us really from the feet on the street. What is going on out there? Ken and Alice, you're going to help to make sure I pronounce this correctly. I was talking to Ken earlier. Panosian, is that correct?
Yes.
Correct?
Yep. Ken
All right. Panosian. It's amazing. I got it right. So anyway, we're really looking forward to having him come on the radio and really talk about what brokers that he's working with specifically are doing and how they're responding, and specifically how he and his company is working through a lot of these issues. So it's going to be a great action-packed program, folks. Also, today, as we did last week, if you want to text questions into us, Twitter is the best way to do it. You can Twitter through by adding a comment or a question, Twitter it, and then at the end of it, put #LOComp. We have had our friend Andy Berman standing by to receive all your texts, and he will be texting me, all your Twitters, and he'll be texting me with your questions. Without further ado, let's get into what's going on in the world of interest rates. Joe Farr, good to have you on the broadcast, as always,
Hi,
each
Dave.
And every week. What's happening out there? What's going on today?
Well, thanks. So far, we're up. We're up 5/32 on the day. No economic news to drive that. It's really based on the consequences of oil prices going up, and that's hurting stocks. Dow's down 100 points, and so mortgages and treasuries are benefiting from that.
That is, oil is definitely going to have an impact on where things are at. So what's going on last week? Give us a rundown.
Last week was a bit of an up and down week, or down and up week. Middle of the week, we had some really strong economic news. Personal income came in, Chicago PMI, the ISM, the ADP employment, jobless claims, all those were better than expected.
Yeah.
And as a result, the market saw that as growing economic pressure on prices and inflation, and as a result, mortgage rates rose, MBS prices fell. But then when the jobs report came out on Friday, I think people had really begun to believe that things were going to be much better than even what the week-old consensus was. And in fact, the jobs report came in a little bit short of the consensus. So on Friday, we saw a nice reversal, and for the week, actually, MBS prices were up a little bit, mortgage rates down just a little bit.
That is, yeah, it was really interesting, the amount of information that came out last week. Again, so overall, last week, did we settle up or down? Was it pretty much about par?
MBS prices up, mortgage rates down just a touch.
Okay. Just a touch, yeah. Okay, well, what about this week, Joe?
Not a lot of economic news coming out. The only really major event this week is coming out Friday at 8:30 with retail sales. Other than that, it's just treasury auctions. We do have the 10 and 30-year treasury auction on Wednesday and Thursday. We have the 3-year auction on Tuesday. And, last time the treasury auctions came out, there was some pretty significant market movement, surprisingly more so on the 3-year, which was a weak auction, and MBS prices fell considerably at the time of that auction, and then the 10-year and the 30-year were good to average, and MBS prices reversed a bit on both of those. So do watch for those. The Treasury auctions are going to come out at 1 o'clock Eastern time each of Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. So might be a good time to pay attention.
Be a good week to be paying attention. We should be paying attention every single week, and thank God we have MBS Quote Line out there to pay attention to. So,
well,
Joe, thank you so we appreciate you being on with us each and every week and all the commentary, but also the contribution you make to this radio program and the quality and the content. Thank you so much. Really appreciate it. Folks, we'll be right back with this after this brief break.
Economic uncertainty has created a tremendous amount of market volatility for the past few weeks. Intraday price changes seem the rule rather than the exception. Have you been surprised by a midday price change? Have you been frustrated as you locked a loan just ahead of a price movement? Found it difficult to explain to a customer why the rate you quoted is no longer available? MBS Quoteline can eliminate these frustrations. MBS Quoteline monitors Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, and Ginnie Mae mortgage-backed security prices in real time. It makes the information conveniently available on your desktop, smartphone, or by email or text message. These are the same prices used to set mortgage rates each morning and to issue midday price changes when significant movement occurs. With MBS Quoteline, you'll never be out of touch with the market,
whether you're in the office or on the road.
See for yourself what MBS Quoteline can do for you. Go to MBSQuoteline.com to start a risk-free two-week trial.
MBSQuoteline.com.
646-716-4972. The Lickin' on Lending Show is back. Here is your host, David Lickin.
Welcome back, everybody. Again, we're going to be focusing this week in this program on LO compensation. As so many are struggling to work through the issues related to that, we've got answers. This is a great place for you to come each week and get an update on what others are doing out there again. So we'll be talking about that later on the program, but as we do each and every week, the person that has brought all this to our attention, which we're very grateful for, and we do not shoot the messenger here on this program, we're grateful for the messenger, matter of fact, a regular contributor and a part of the program each and every week. Alice Alvey, what is going on in with the legislative update?
Hi, Dave. Yeah, here we go with the traffic report again, but thank goodness
report,
we don't
yeah.
have any right great big new things to watch as everyone's trying to get their arms around Dodd-Frank. Hopefully you all got your HMDA reports out on time last week as you're trying to figure out your loan officer compensation issues.
Wow.
We only have 19 working days left to figure out loan officer compensation, and so as you mentioned, we'll be talking about that in a different segment. So I'm just going to focus here quickly on a few of the bills that we're watching. We do have that. Let me grab my notes here very quickly, that we had a couple of bills that are coming out and actually made it through the Financial Services Committee to put a halt to the HAMP programs. So we have H.R. 836, which was the Emergency Mortgage Relief Program Termination Act, and H.R. 830, the FHA Refinance Program Termination Act. These two bills are designed to say, let's take this money off the table that's not really working well in the government's eyes, because as we all know, we've only had about 40 loans actually go all the way through the HAMP process on the FHA side in particular. So there are bills pending to terminate those programs. We're also watching H.R. 769. This is to have credit scores included within the free credit report concept that customers have out there. We're also looking at that we would have H.R. 691, that where the residential mortgage social security number requirement would go is being proposed, that all borrowers must have a social security number to move forward. So I'm going to keep our list short this week to just those few things, as we have a lot going on to talk about loan officer compensation. I will give you all a heads up. We have a meeting this week. FHA is conducting their bimonthly conference call with the Mortgage Bankers Association. We have lots of outstanding questions on the new FHA streamline refinance rules. I'll be bringing more to you next week on those after we have some more clarification from FHA on about the 12 things that aren't clear within their latest mortgagee letter. And that's a real number, by the way. That's not just a random number. We've got a list of 12 questions about those mortgagee letters. So, more for you next week on that.
Yeah, and we're also going to be covering, and Alice is tracking so many issues with regulations being what they are and getting clarification. There's just so much going on. If you guys want to find out what some of the topics are that we'll be covering on the radio programs each and every week coming up, be sure to go out to the website, www.lykkenonlending.com, and look at the upcoming episodes. We have it clearly noted there what we're going to be talking about. Again, last week, this week, the last couple of weeks, and this week and next, we're going to be focusing on LOComp. But we're also going to be talking about on the 21st, Alice will be bringing us an update about the new call report. Alice, thank you so much for you and your staff and all that you do to bring this, make this program content so solid and sometimes a little scary, but we love having you do it, bring it to us. Thank you so much for being a part of the program, and folks, we'll be right back after this brief break.
Looking for a full-service mortgage training and consulting company to fit exactly what you need? Mortgage U is your ultimate education and information resource used by lenders to execute high-impact, high-quality training throughout the organization. Mortgage U instructors are mortgage professionals,
providing classroom and web-based delivery,
and has the most sought-after training manuals in the country. Mortgage U has a proven track record, performing customized training programs for hundreds and even thousands of employees, both live and online, on everything from application through loan delivery and insuring. Call Mortgage U today at 800-278-0200 or visit us online at mortgage-u.com. Welcome back to Lickin' on Lending. Our guest call-in line is 646-716-4972. And now, here's David Lickin.
I'm just chuckling as I read a message from one of our regular listeners and go, I love Alice. Don't rush her off. We love hearing from Alice. We're not rushing her off. We just got so much to talk about on LOComp, where we are moving through quickly through the various segments so that we can get to this discussion. It's very critical, and we have so many of you that are out there listening to it. So for those of you who know, we didn't rush Alice off. We are excited to have Alice bring the content, but there's so much to talk about on LOComp. And we'll be getting into that in greater detail. Remember, we got Ken Panosian, who's with Ross Mortgage up there in Alice's country. And so looking forward to having Ken on the program to talk about LOComp. But as we do each and every week, we have the profit doctor, because you know what? Regulations come and go and they hit us, but the bottom line has been there for centuries, and that's what the Profit Doctor helps us focus on, is how we can make some money. And what's so entertaining about this is no one but the Profit Doctor can make the topic of accounting, of financial management, relatable and more exciting than our own Andy Schell. Andy, welcome to the program. What are you going to tie into the topic today? I got a feeling that this is going to be a good one.
Well, thanks, Dave. Well, you know, I do my best to make accounting be interesting, because I remember sitting in college classes and listening to professors and just couldn't wait for the bell to ring or for a break so I could leave and stop thinking about it. So I learned a long time ago, we don't want people's eyes to roll back in their head. And today's topic is a preview of what's coming up in a couple of weeks. But I wanted to mention to everybody that Joe, you, and I are all in Austin, Texas, which is in the hill country of Texas with lots of rolling hills and lots of lakes, and you and Alice and I have had dinner at a restaurant overlooking the lakes around Austin.
Yep.
And we're about 2 hours from the Gulf of Mexico, so there's lots of water. And being that Austin is in the Southwest, we have mild winters. Like today in the middle of February, it's going to be up into the low 70s.
I know.
But having these mild temperatures and warm weather all year, it's also a popular environment for a number of what I call annoying vermin and reptiles. Which include rattlesnakes and water moccasins. Both.
So how does this relate to accounting? I can't wait. You're so clever.
Rattlesnakes and water moccasins are both nasty little critters. You know, rattlesnakes are poisonous. So when you're walking around the hills, the good news is if you can hear the sound of the rattle, you'll know that there's something coming. There's something to be aware of, to plan for. Now, if you do get bit, they're rarely fatal, but they are painful. So the good news about rattlesnakes is they make noise. Water moccasins, on the other hand, are poisonous, and they like being around water, and there's lots of water around Austin with lots of lakes. Now, the bad part is they're silent, and they're difficult to see if you're skiing in the water, like when you used to live on the lake, Dave, or in the trails around the lakes running around Austin. There's water moccasins as well, and they're nasty little snakes, and they're rarely fatal but nevertheless hurt, and they're silent. They're silent. They sneak up on you. So how this relates is that I think rattlesnakes are kind of like Dodd-Frank and the LOComp rules from the Federal Reserve Board. We heard the rattle. It's been rattling for a long time. We know it's all coming. We may not all be prepared, but we can't say we didn't know.
Yes.
Well, and I'm going to say that the new NMLS call report we're going to talk about in great detail in 2 weeks is like a water moccasin. It's a sneaky little snake that snuck up on us and is going to bite us. We got head faked, Dave. We got head faked. We were watching the Dodd-Frank legislation that got passed and then the FRB rule that came out, and the NMLS call report just got launched. It snuck up on us. There was a news release on the NMLS call report that went out in March of 2010, so a year ago, is when the announcement went out, and it was open for public comment. The comment period closed in May of 2010, so 10 months ago. So it happened. It happened a year ago, and we were so focused on the LO comp that we missed this call report thing. And so it's here. It's now. It's official. The financial reporting cycle for the NMLS call report begins at the end of this month for the first quarter of 2011. And we have to have the report in to them. Alice just confirmed this morning, in 45 days from the end of the month. So by May the 15th, we have to turn this report in. And, you know, I just spoke to the folks at the NMLS this morning, and they confirmed that everything is moving forward. So, you know, according to the NMLS, this call report is a quarterly report of all the mortgage activity and company information created by the state regulators, and it's administered by the NMLS. And this NMLS call report is intended to basically be completed so that the all state licensed companies are going to have to do this, and also all state registered companies that employ mortgage loan originators are going to have to do this. So it's basically any mortgage lender has to do it, and they believe that by having this what they're calling timely, which means that it's got to be turned in timely and uniform, so it's everybody's the same. By having timely, uniform mortgage activity and financial reporting through the NMLS call report, the state regulators expect that they're now going to have the data to more effectively monitor the mortgage lenders, the licensees that they watch. And so this is going to be required by all companies, and it's a standardized report that's going to be required by all of the, I guess there's 42 states that are going to be following this format. And so it's starting, and according to the NMLS, the call report's targeted to be available now for financial reporting for the end of the first quarter. So we're coming up on the end of March, and this is going to be due in May, and it's happening. So when every company is going to have to log into NMLS, and they're going to have to click on the tab for call report and either manually enter or upload the data. And we'll get into this more in 2 weeks. There's XML uploads, and basically we're going to get the data into NMLS. They're going to forward it on to the state, and then each state then will use that to regulate mortgage lending. And any delays in filing could cause a penalty, and it's going to be based on each specific state. So we as mortgage lenders, we need to have a good accounting system. If we've got good accounting systems with loan-level detail, and we've got a good loan origination system that can track transactions down to each loan officer, so it's the HMDA data, it's all the origination activity data tracked by loan officer, then this new report's not going to be that significant of a concern. But if you don't have this level of financial detail capturing, where you've got every loan detail, all the information off of HUD-1 captured in your system, run through your accounting system, this could be a challenge. So we need to get started now. It's going to sneak up on us. We're going to have, May 15th is going to be right around the corner. March 31st is coming up, so we can already start getting ready for this. And we're going to talk about this more in 2 weeks on the Lickin' on Lending show on March the 21st. But let's not let this water moccasin bite us. We didn't see it coming, but it's here now, so let's take care of it. So that's the Profit Doctor for today, Dave.
They are silent, and they can be – they won't mean to kill you unless you land in a nest of them while you're water skiing out there. They can certainly ruin your day and give you just one bad weekend. So, yeah, that's a great one. It's the ones that rattle. I like that. You know what? A rattler is the one that's out there shaking in the grass. You know it's there. That's the Dodd-Frank LO comp. It's those silent ones. Good, good, good job. I appreciate that, Andy.
Thanks,
folks. I just got a text in there from Andrew Berman that's saying, be sure when you're emailing or texting your questions that you put the hashtag, which is, as far as I'm concerned, it's the pound key. It's that number sign. And put hashtag LOCOMP, and then he will be getting it. We already have questions pouring in to him that I'm starting to get text to me. We're looking forward so much to getting into all of those questions and some of the issues that are on the LinkedIn discussion. But Profit Doctor, thank you so much for bringing us this report, helping us fix what ailed in the bottom line. Have a
you
great
day. In our accounting procedure, we would say to send a text, hit shift 3.
Hit shift 3, okay. See, there's a procedure.
That way you don't have to worry about explaining it. Hit shift 3.
Is shift, okay, so is shift 3, is that always the pound sign always above the 3 key? That's the bigger question. We'll ponder that and get everyone to respond back. I think it is. But anyway, folks, stay tuned. We'll be right back after this break.
Mortgage Banking Solutions is the preeminent management consulting firm to the residential mortgage lending industry. No other firm in the U.S. offers the menu of services or the level of expertise to the industry.
If you're looking for help converting from best efforts to hedging, or need help with bookkeeping to know your profit per loan,
if you are interested in making the transition from broker to banker, or if you just need a roadmap for success, Mortgage Banking Solutions' primary focus is to enable executives to take their business to the next level and guide them down a path towards success and profitability. With over 300 combined years of experience in all facets of mortgage lending, the Mortgage Banking Solutions team of professionals has the expertise and know-how to help you accomplish your goals. New warehouse lines of credit,
broker to banker transitions, transitioning to hedging, financial and accounting services, or meeting your capitalization needs.
If you need help with these or any other aspects of your business, please contact a Mortgage Banking Solutions sales team to see how we can help you at 512-977-9900. That's 512-977-9900. Mortgage Banking Solutions, enabling executives to take their business to the next level.
Welcome back, everybody. This is David Licken, and it is March 7th, Monday, and we're broadcasting from Austin, Texas. And through the marvels of the Internet and Blog Talk Radio, we are reaching every corner of the world, well, every corner of the U.S. at least. And we have folks literally from Everett, Washington, all the way down to Florida, from Maine all the way down to San Diego, California, all on the radio listening to us today. And we want to thank you all so much for being a part of this. And we welcome your emails. We receive so many encouraging words of support saying, do a great job, keep it up. We listen to you each and every week. I love hearing that at conferences where I go. And a lot of it has to do because we're trying so hard to bring you the content about what is going on and what is significant in the marketplace today. Let me ask you a question. This is a rhetorical question, if there ever was one. Is there anything more significant that's going on than LO comp rule changes, the rule changes put on by the Federal Reserve related to LO compensation, and then Dodd-Frank right behind it? I don't think that there has been anything more of a game changer and brought more confusion and questions to our industry than this. Helping us sort out all these questions and all the issues today, we have Ken Panosian, who is Vice President of Ross Mortgage. He is also Vice President, or he is Vice President overall and everything that is wholesale there. He has almost 20 years of wholesale and retail lending experience. He is very experienced and lives up in the Lake Orion, Michigan area. Alice, you're going to help me get me of that. But he is married with two children. We're glad to have Ken on the program. Ken, welcome to the program.
Hi, Dave. Thanks for having me on.
Good. Alice knows you so well and they made the recommendation, so I want to say a big public thank you to Alice for getting you on the program. I've met the owner of owner of Ross Mortgage. Is a great company all the way around. You guys are one of the most respected companies in the greater Michigan area and beyond. So, Alice, let's get you to add anything to it. I think you said that Ken is very involved in LO Comp and a number of things related to that, of things going on up there in the state of Michigan.
Yeah, I think we've talked on retail many times, and I think we've talked many times about the idea that it's so difficult to talk LO Comp in general, both retail and wholesale. So we thought it was a good idea to stay focused on the wholesale discussion today, and Ken's been a big champion of that. Obviously, he's out there, you know, on the street as running wholesale, with working with brokers all around the country, and he's really attended all the seminars like you all have, and as we're all on the street trying to work out these details, Ken, we're glad to have you on the program.
Thanks, Alice.
Give us a report, Ken, if you wouldn't mind, on just what you are – it's just a general feel out there. We're reading on our message board that you're aware of, the LinkedIn message board, we're reading that there's just still a lot of confusion out there. While the banks have kind of figured it out and Some are beginning to announce and release their compensation plans. Some of the larger independent mortgage bankers are releasing their compensation plans. Again, the bulk of which have a salary component and then a percentage override, and then they're putting some money aside in the gain on sale income that's going into a pool for quarterly bonuses and things like that. What are you hearing as it relates to the broker population out there? We're really focusing in on the broker. How are they dealing with this?
Well, unfortunately for the broker, Dave, is that the information has been very slow to get to the Main Street level. So that has really put our friends in the broker community at a little bit of a disadvantage. And it's not, I don't think it's really been done intentionally for the most part. I think it's just been a fact that there's been such a lack of guidance from the Fed that really nobody really wanted to put anything out on the street and then get painted into a corner and then provide, advice or a thing that might be construed in a way that might not be beneficial to the broker. So the brokers are really struggling for reliable guidance and reliable information because they've talked to an awful lot of people, Dave, as far as whether it's attorneys that have specialized in this field or the trusted partnerships that they have with the lenders that they deal with, whether it's a regional lender like Ross or one of the bigger banks that are out there nationally. So that's really been the feedback that we've received, is that they're waiting to be led, but the information to allow us to lead has been very difficult to harness and put yeah. in a manner that they understand.
Well, that seems to be the issue. Is, you know, first of all, you have had to get figured out, and then it's publishing it back out to them. Many of the brokers I've talked to have really felt out of control, and you know, to your point, there's little guidance, and it's because all the wholesalers are trying to figure it out. So let's start. You're a leading regional wholesaler up there in that market. Let's talk about it a little bit. Give us some insights on how you're grappling with this, how you're tackling it, and if you're comfortable opening up and sharing what specifically Ross Mortgage is doing, that'd be great.
Really what we've done is really take the federal and really gone through it line by line, just like everybody else has, to figure out exactly what our interpretation of it is, dealing with our attorneys. And then you kind of have to wait, because you have to wait to see, you know, how it affects your secondary marketing and your loan delivery to the investors you deliver for. So no matter what you do on one hand, you kind of have to wait on the other hand that you're delivering the loans in a manner that not only are compliant, but, you know, can get funded and will be purchased. So it's a very delicate balancing act. So that's really what we've approached, is as we get this information in our hands, we're going to be coming out with the releases this week. So we feel comfortable with that. And we've really had to draw from two channels of information, the federal and then the covenants with the agreements we have as a loan delivery with our investors.
Well, Joe Farr has got a large number of folks that follow or that are part of his publication, a good number of which are brokers and originators. Joe, I'd like to toss the mic to you and have you begin to bring to Ken some of the questions, and then Andy and Alice, let's all jump in as after Ken's response on each one of these questions and kind of dive into each one of these a little bit. So, Joe, what are some of the questions that you're hearing from within your customer base?
Yeah, I guess the question starts with to what extent is the wholesaler responsible for the policies and procedures for paying between a broker and the broker's LOs? Do you as a company feel that you're taking on risk, Ken, that's associated with how they pay their employees?
That's a great question. As a matter of fact, that is a question that is still with our attorneys at this time, because we really don't know how much liability for any of the wholesalers out there as it relates to the broker community. And we are concerned about that, but we don't have any definitive answers at this point. And and that is a very, very big question that we're still trying to get some more guidance on.
You know,
well,
Joe, we had a few customers who kind of tried to settle in on that same question also, and it really does start to be, in my years of running wholesale, it was, what do I have knowledge of? What do I have the ability to have control and knowledge of from the time I receive the loan application? So that's why we're seeing that wholesalers are probably going to have to take a stance of making a determination between, is this a borrower-paid or a lender-paid comp deal? And once they find a way, either procedurally or system-wise, wise or through some sort of certification that's made on each transaction, then they can have the right process to monitor how the funds are collected on that loan once it closes. Outside of that, how the broker pays the LO and how it gets down to that next level, or actually auditing that they never got paid by the borrower as well as being paid by the lender, that's going to be up to state auditors and whoever their other regulators are to be able to find that out going forward.
Okay.
And that also comes back with the go ahead.
I'm sorry. That leads to the next question, which is, what are you asking of your brokers to, are there documents that you're requiring that they provide you between now and April 1st?
Yeah, we're going to make an amendment to our existing agreement. Obviously, the big one is the compensation level of which they select. So that's the obvious one. And then an attestation to, that they're doing things in a compliant manner. And getting into that detail as far as that they're going to test that they're doing everything as it relates, to the federal rule. And maybe, when the Consumer Financial Protection Agency comes into play in a few months, there are going to be more guidance there. So, It was written intentionally to be vague, as we've been told over and over and over again, and we're navigating it the best way we can. But we're going to come out with some general disclosures that we feel are compliant and get us where we need to be.
Well, and you mentioned the price, the compensation level that they select. So that gets to a couple really, really important questions, which are you allowing them to select their compensation level, or are you sort of dictating here are the three options I give you?
We're actually going to give them a selection. We'll give them a controlled menu, but that is also going to be done based on the help with our account executives, the relationship we have with our clients out there, and to come up with compensation level that works for them, not only short term but potentially long term, that really puts them in a position to succeed when they go out in the marketplace to offer the rates to their consumers. So it's a collaborative effort, to be sure. If they don't select a compensation level, either we're probably going to make some phone calls or default and select one for them.
And if they've selected a compensation level from Roth, that is make up things just for relationship, but a 1.5-point fee, and they have a compensation level from another wholesaler that has a 2-point compensation level in it. How do you see them being able to navigate having different compensation levels with different wholesalers without running afoul of the steering issues?
Well, there's nothing that prevents a broker from being compensated at different levels, as long as it's done in a compliant manner, of course. But what the broker really, what we've guided our brokers to do is they really have to decide what area of the pool they want to swim in. You don't, as a wholesaler, you don't want to come in too low and pigeonhole yourself to be only selected when it's convenient, nor do you want to come in too high on the other side. But as far as compensation level, it's certainly well within the rule that you can, a broker or a loan officer can get paid more by a different lender as long as they're disclosing it correctly to the borrower and they're doing so in a manner that is in a safe harbor.
One of the
and Dave, I have one more question.
Yeah, go ahead.
I'm sorry, it was kind of a series of questions leading up to this one, which is...
it's kind of funny about
series.
Over the last
it's
six
not
questions.
A roll.
As a broker's looking at the various rate sheets that they've been given, those rate sheets are likely going to have both a price if the fee's coming from you and a price if the fee's being paid by the borrower. If the broker is in need of making a sacrificing a fee or giving up some of his commission to get a deal, it would seem like he's unable to do that utilizing the broker price sheets with the fee built in. So do you anticipate that more of your deals are going to come through, more brokers are going to begin to close by collecting a fee from the customer as opposed to having you pay the fee just so that they maintain the flexibility?
I really don't. I think if for the smaller shops, the borrower paid option really gives them the most flexibility. for your more traditional broker shops, the lender paid really is the avenue that they're going to have to pursue. In my opinion, what this does is really move the accuracy well upstream in the loan process. One of the things that's happened over the years in the industry is the fact that you've been able to put enough together to get the loan through the system, into the system, and kind of go through, and we'll backfill it later with this or backfill it later with that. Over the years, just getting more accuracy with the new GFE that has been in place for over a year now, that's kind of curbed that. And Medea has curbed that, which, in my opinion, Medea is probably one of the best things that's ever happened in this industry, but doesn't get enough credit, and all this other stuff is a whole other issue. But I think accuracy becomes paramount, and you're going to have lenders or brokers out there and loan officers out there that are really going to have to make sure that they have really done their homework, they know their fees. They don't want to go to the risk of having a loan potentially not even close or even potentially get rejected at the point of submission with their lender. So they have to be great partners in this, and most of them are, and it just raises the bar to a new level that, you know, is not necessarily a bad thing at the end of the day, because it will create efficiency. The more loans will get through the system, the more loans will get to the closing table. It'll be easier on our title companies at the end of the day. It'll be easier on our consumers at the end of the day. So there, you know, as crazy as this rule is, there is a few silver linings to what this brings.
That is, it's nice to hear that optimism, and that's maybe why one of the reasons you, Ross Mortgage, are one of the leaders up in that market, is because it's that look at the, try to find the glass half full scenario or a positive aspects about this. So I compliment you on that, Ken, and I think that comes from Tim, who is hopefully listening to your comments on the radio program this morning, but a great company that you have up there, and Tim has created and surrounding himself with great folks like yourself that really kind of have that attitude. Appreciate it. Folks, we'll be right back after we take this brief break.
It's time for the Mortgage Minute with Rob Katz of Del Mar Data Track.
A tip of the hat to Jeff Zimper, who posted a story on nationalmortgagenews.com called Steps to a Steady Stream of Realtor Referrals. This is a timely and insightful article that includes specific ideas on how loan officers can build and establish the right kinds of relationships with realtors in today's market. Although there's nothing earth-shatteringly new in his recommendations, every once in a while, we just need to be reminded of the right way to do things. The biggest challenge, of course, is actually investing the time and energy to design a sales strategy that is best for your market and then executing against that plan. So, step one is to read Jeff's article, Steps to a Steady Stream of Realtor Referrals at nationalmortgagenews.com. Step two is to refine his ideas to a practical approach for your business. Step three, the hardest part, is to execute. By the way, his ideas can be leveraged by account executives with wholesale lenders who are working with brokers. That's the story that caught my attention this week. For the Mortgage Minute, this is Rob Katz with DMD. I'll be back next week with the news I think you should know about.
This has been the Mortgage Minute with Rob Katz of Del Mar Data Track. Catch Rob's news of the week right here on the Lincoln on Lending Show or online at dmdinc.com. PMI Mortgage Insurance Company is the clear choice for your higher LTV conventional borrowers. Unlike FHA, PMI offers a choice of flexible premium plans to fit the individual needs of each borrower. From a one-time upfront cost with no renewal premium to a monthly plan with no upfront charges, PMI's premium plans recognize larger down payment and good credit history, saving your clients what can at times be thousands of dollars. PMI also provides lenders with fast electronic submission tools to increase efficiencies. Mortgage insurance is more relevant than ever, so it's important to utilize a mortgage insurer who's committed to the business for the long term. It is vital that you work with a company whose core competency is credit risk management and bring that wealth of knowledge to your firm. At PMI, mortgage insurance is their only business, so they have to get it right. PMI's mission is to create sustainable homeownership opportunities. To learn more about how PMI solutions can assist your business, please contact your PMI representative today or call 800-966-4PMI, 800-966-4PMI.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Dave Licken, and we have as our special guest today Ken Panosian, Ken Panosian, Vice President of Ross Mortgage Corp, located in the Detroit area. Ross Mortgage is one of the leaders in that area, and we're thrilled to have Ken and his positive perspective on all that's going on regarding LO Comp. Allison, I want to toss the mic over to you, and then we're going to go over to Andy Shell for some specific questions of Ken related to this hot topic. Allison?
Hi, Ken. Hey, you and I have had several conversations about this as it's been evolving, and I wanted the listeners to know a little bit about some of the flip-flopping that's going on for the wholesalers on the borrower paid side. So can you tell us a little bit about the third-party payment and the things that changed over the last few weeks as far as borrower-paid compensation going to the broker?
You know, the thing that caused about 85 phone calls in 20 minutes when kind of came out with the different agencies out there. Well, that was probably the one thing that even the big banks, Alice, kind of whiffed on it. And what it came down to is in the broker world, when they go to the borrower paid option, the borrower certainly can pay the fees directly to the brokerage company, but by doing so, that then takes the loan officer out of the compensation equation as it relates to any type of commission. That loan officer certainly can be paid their hourly or salary rate that they enjoy at that time, but they cannot receive any additional compensation as it's directly tied to that loan. And that did cause a whirlwind of phone calls and emails and things that, what was that, in mid-February, that really kind of was highlighted and pointed out. And that's really the gist of it, is that if you're going to go borrower paid, the broker company wins out, but the loan officer is just going to be entitled to a minimal compensation either by salary or hourly rate.
And if people
aren't
interested in that, there are some attorneys' opinions out there, and it's just a classic example of, you know, attorneys can be so different on this subject.
Yes.
And as people keep digging, and make their own individual phone calls to the Federal Reserve, they may get a little tidbit out here and there. I sure wish the Federal Reserve would come out with, or the Fed Board would come out with an FAQ on this. So, Joe, you were going to say something.
Well, I wanted to say, so it sounds like the relationship between the company that the broker company that employs LOs that work for it is different than the retail company that employs loan officers that work for it.
Absolutely true.
Wow.
Well, and the opinion I'm looking at also references for the broker that they are going to not, in that same scenario, if it's borrower paid, they wouldn't be able to pay their processors, underwriters. You know, sometimes in a broker shop they have employees who are receiving individual-type compensation for loan transactions, and it seems to stretch, or at least this legal opinion I'm looking at, seems to stretch into that level as well.
What's the logic behind that?
Dead silence, because we're all not really quite sure.
You can't
bring
logic.
What part of this is logical, Joe?
You can't bring logic in the Fed rule into the same sentence, because it doesn't make sense. It's a very comprehensive rule to be sure.
Yeah, well, you know what? Someone that's logical and a part of the program on a regular basis is Andy Schell. And so, Andy, I want to draw you into the question. Any questions you have, logical questions with logical possible responses for Ken?
Well, that's why this whole thing is making my head hurt. Talk about eyes rolling back in your head, is that as I read through this and I think I understand it, and all of a sudden something else changes, then all of a sudden it doesn't make sense again. And then you realize that it really doesn't make sense, and that's how it is. And it's mind-numbing. I did have a question, Ken, and welcome to the show.
Thank you.
You know, as the finance guy, both Joe and I are finance guys, but as the CFO hat guy, I'm watching a company, I'm watching pricing, I'm trying to work my way through this on a daily, weekly basis, trying to make certain the company's making the money we thought we were going to make as this new program comes into place. And if my shop is, let's say we picked the 1.25 price in our relationship with you, and let's say that we get into this thing and we go, oh, man, that's not going to work. That doesn't do what we thought it was going to do. How quickly can we come back to you and say, Ken, we thought we wanted 1.25, we really want 1.5, and then once we change it, how frequently can we keep changing it with you?
Well, that really is dependent on any one of the lenders that any broker has a relationship with. the most aggressive I've seen out there by month, and some is every 60 days or by quarter. And I think, you know, as this unfolds a little bit, you know, water finds its level, and most of the wholesalers out there are going to go out there and work with their broker partners that, again, they do it in a compliant fashion, but which makes sense. And it's going to be on any going forward business. It can't be based on anything that's already in the pipeline at that time. So I got to be honest with you. I think probably I would bet that the broker community has been a little bit too conservative in what they think that they are able to garner as it relates to the compensation. I think as time goes on, in maybe a very short period of time, that the compensation level, I think, is going to go up. I think people, first of all, you're going to have to decide what you want to be. Do you want to be a government specialist? Do you want to be a conventional loan specialist? If you want to cater to both of those segments, you know, you might work for a little bit less on a government loan, but you are certainly going to work for a little bit more on a conventional deal. And I think that the rate of pay, as far as basis points on volume, let's just go down that path, is probably going to settle somewhere in the mid twos, if not higher.
Yeah, that's one of the questions that was just sent in, Ken, from Jake Planton out there. He says, just curious for my LO buddies out there, what are you seeing compensation? What is being normally charged for compensation? 1 point, 2 points, and he means totally all in. And then he has another question after that. Are you seeing any general standards beginning to form amongst the brokers out there?
Well, I think initially when it came out, it was 2 to 2.25. Maybe 2.5, there was some dialogue around 1.75, but it really depends on the marketplace. When you're dealing with higher loan balances, you can get away. It makes more sense to deal in a market that has higher loan balances to go to a lower basis point percentage. If you're in the markets that are struggling a little bit more, then I think those are going to go up. As far as depending on where you hang your broker hat, where you lend. That those are going to go up. I really believe that over time they're all going to go up, which doesn't necessarily help the consumer at the end of the day either. And I think they're going to go up whether you're a lender or a broker. I don't think it's going to make a difference.
I think there seems to be a sense of over conservative correction on this, and I think you're right. I think that we're going to see this begin to get back up where people can make a decent living, especially when you look at the number of loan officers. I know up in Michigan, it's like what we're hearing out of reports of Florida here in Texas. I mean, there's been a mass exodus of licenses being issued or reissued to loan officers. I mean, that is significant.
Well, Dave, and the one thing that the ironic part about all this is there's a whole segment of people that they haven't been brought in the loop of this. Think about the realtors out there that have garnered such great relationships that don't deal with the big banks, that have a great opportunity to put people in homes, and they're going to have less people to reach out to get their consumer into the home buying transaction. It is going to be very, very difficult, and you could see turn times excel. And
yes.
with great challenges, great opportunity. And home ownership's not going away. The rules
Absolutely.
Are changing, but people are still. Nobody said people aren't going to be buying homes anymore. People
That's
didn't
right.
say people aren't going to have kids anymore. People aren't saying that they're not going to be downsizing or moving up. The people are still going to be buying homes.
It is such a good point. And another one, someone just wrote in another text, and for those of you that are listening to the program, you can text your questions Twitter your questions to us by typing in your question, and then at the end of your question, put the hash sign or the pound sign, or as Andy Alvey, Doc Prophet Doctor says, shift number 3 key and at the end of it and put L-O-COMP. L-O comp, and we will get those. Andrew Berman is texting them to me. One of the questions that just came in, Ken, is how much does Ken's comp plan look like other lenders? How does any feedback? What are you hearing out there?
They're all going to look pretty similar, I think, at the end of the day, Dave. I don't think anybody's going to go out there and be and for the broker community, it's pretty straightforward. But I think at the end of the day, they're going to look comparable. The ranges might vary a little bit, but I think they'll be comparable at the end of the day.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think there's a lot of like anything, we especially when there's not the definitions, there hasn't the feds have not, like Al said, issued any FAQs on this, frequently asked questions, given us any guidance on this, which is just cause for so much anxiety and stress out there. I think we're going to get through this, but I think the thing I want to really underscore, which really fits with my attitude towards life and business, is what doesn't kill you makes you stronger. And I think while this is, feels like it's killing a lot of people, I think this is actually going to get a lot of the riffraff out of the industry. It's those that are serious about this industry, companies like Ross Mortgage that are very focused and are planning to stay in this. I mean, you shouldn't realize Hugh Ross started this company in 1949. Son Tim has taken it over and it continues on. It's one of those generational companies. And it is one of those situations where you see people that are in this generationally, I mean, this is their career. This is their life. They have the attitude, how are we going to make some lemonade out of these lemons? And I think that's the attitude what I'm really glad to hear you portraying out there, Ken. It's good to have
It is. And the one thing that, you know, when you talk about generations, you know, we also have to back up a little bit and say, you know, there's a whole generation of loan officers out there that have known nothing but revenue-based compensation.
Yeah, that's exactly
right. And you really have to deprogram them a little bit, and we as lenders have to help them that, you know, instead of being revenue-based, you really have to go into it's a volume world now. It's more of a marketing world. And if there's less people renewing their licenses, that's more opportunity for you to get from closing 5 or 6 loans a month, maybe to 8 or 9 or even more. And the big producers are going to have more opportunity. So, you know, unfortunately, there's a whole generation, like I said, that have been revenue mindset, compensation level loan officers that now have to really put that to the side, which is difficult to do, and say, now I just got to go get volume and I got to go get loans and I got to get more people in homes and get them refinancing the burger rate.
Well, and the good news is they don't have to share on the downside of that price, of those pricing mistakes that everybody would make occasionally.
Yeah, isn't that great, Alex? Thanks for bringing that up.
If we're looking for the good news, hey, I have a question, kind of on the next level of questions is people kind of go, okay, I've got my pricing now for my wholesaler. Ken, are you guys going to be issuing your own version of a safe harbor disclosure? Do you see this being this kind of form where, okay, I've got to have the right one for this wholesaler that I'm delivering to, and everybody's going to have their own, or is it going to settle into a generic version, do you think?
You know, again, lack of guidance, Alice. We've asked our aggregators for sort of guidance on that. We've asked the Fed for it. There is no safe harbor disclosure. You can Google it. You can search it. There's not anything that exists. So I think company by company, you're going to have to deal with your attorney on that and put out something that I think is going to be a little bit more general in nature that meets the requirement.
So as a wholesaler, are you going to be looking for it in the file, or you think it's a compliance issue that belongs to the broker alone in the event that they get audited?
Oh, as far as the disclosure they provide us?
To the borrower, like for them,
yeah,
you know.
Correct,
yeah.
Correct.
Hey, Ken, part of what we were talking about earlier before the show started had to do with subjectivity that revolves around a decision like that. And they might say, you know, they might have 3 or 4 wholesalers, and Ross Mortgage may be the one that has the absolute best turn time and the most reasonable underwriting people process. But you might be a little bit worse in cost. Yet your brokers might push their customers your way because of that subjectivity. That's something else that would need to be documented and on that sheet, would it not?
Yeah, you're going to have to disclose all of that, but there's nothing that prohibits the broker from doing that because it has to be in the best interest of the borrower, and you're also going to have to disclose to that borrower all the options that are available to them. That doesn't necessarily mean they have to pick the best one. They just have to. It has to be disclosed. And you're right. If you have a lender out there that has a lower rate but has a $1,200 underwriting fee, the borrower might select a higher rate with the $700 underwriting fee or the $500 underwriting fee.
Well, getting some more questions in here as we get close to wrapping up this program. We got 6 minutes left, 5 minutes left, so I'm going to get in there. I also just received an email broadcast from the National Mortgage News, and it says the National Association of Independent Housing Professionals has filed, as of today, a lawsuit in the Federal Reserve in the district court, U.S. District Court, seeking to block the agency's controversial LO compensation rule, which becomes effective April Fool's Day. That's my additional editorial. Also, the National Association of Mortgage Brokers are joining in that lawsuit. I'm just hearing this as it's being some of the comments are being twittered out to us. I'd like to go around to the group. How are you hearing, or how, what are you hearing out there is, about these lawsuits, and what's really Ross Mortgage's approach to the rumors that this is going to get delayed, Ken?
We don't feel that it will. We are certainly hoping for the best, but preparing for the worst, and I think it's a great, great effort, but I really do, we're going forth as if April 1st is the day.
Yep. Alice, your thoughts on the
I think it's a long uphill battle, and we're down to, like I said, just a few weeks to try and get this implemented. I don't think you can hold out on that hope, although, you know, I understand their passion to try and make sure that, you know, this is something that's good for consumers as well as good for their industry.
One of the questions, Alice, that just came in specific for you is, if they are successful, if NAIHP's lawsuit is successful, can they use this argument to kill the Dodd-Frank later, since it's kind of a mirror of the Federal Reserve? Your opinion, several listeners are wanting to get your specific opinion on that.
Well, I would think that the suit, although I haven't read the exact terminology, I might be able to click on it here quickly. I'm assuming it's specific to the Reg Z rule that the suit
yes.
is filing, and that it isn't
yes.
something general in trying to stop LO compensation as a whole. So I guess,
it's filed,
yes, the Dodd-Frank piece would be on the table still.
Yeah, that's kind of my reel, too. So for those of you that are tweeting us your questions, it is, yeah, one does apply to the other, but I think with the short fuse that we have on this, 19 days, as Alice reported earlier, I just don't think it's realistic for us to be, I would not be, as Ken said, I would not be basing your business based on this all going away. It's best to be prepared and get ready to react to this and deal with this, have your plans ready to go, and realize, you know, to Ken's point, this is really creating some opportunity, along with all the angst that it's causing in the industry. This really is creating opportunity for those that are truly professionals. I want to say a big thank you to Ken Panosian. Is it Panosian? Am I saying that right, Ken? I've done several variations on the O. Panosian?
You got it right at the end. That's fantastic. It's Lake Orion.
Yeah.
But that's where I live, but I work in Royal Oak.
Well, it's good. Be sure to greet Tim and everyone there at Ross Mortgage. We appreciate you so much being a part of the broadcast, willing to step up and come forward and to be a part of it. We'd like to have you back, Ken, because I think you got a great attitude, and that's what we're trying to bring to this audience of ours, is guidance and a great attitude of how to look at this thing, the glass half full, so to speak. Appreciate it so much.
You bet.
Good to have you be with us. Alice, Joe, and Andy, as we get to exiting, getting close to 2 minutes left before we close out this program, I want to call special attention to the fact that we will be talking about the call report that's due May 15th. That's 2 weeks out. Next week, we're going to be continuing the conversation on LO Comp and really diving into some of the programs and plans that will be coming out. Alice, as we go to the door and have the handle on the door, any parting comments for any our listeners?
I would just say make sure you have your agreements reviewed comprehensively by both an attorney and someone who understands the process and the implications of your plan in your marketplace. It's really a twofold approach to comp plan reviews.
The profit doctor, you got any thoughts you want to add to this?
No, nothing more than I always say. Make sure accounting's on board, understands it, and model it out so you know what you're going to get.
Oh, why not leave them down there in the dark until the last minute, until the first commission checks are due? Oh, Andy, we don't want a doctor to bring them in on it until after it's too late. just joking. Obviously, you need to bring the accounting department up to what the plan is. For those of you who are launching programs, bring it to them. Make sure they're prepared to deal with it. Joe, thank you
market
so much
update.
What's going on?
Well, we're up 230 seconds on the day, and it's fallen during our call. So maybe we're moving the market here.
All right. Thank you, everybody, for being a part of the program. Look forward to having you back next week. Have a great day. Have a great week.
This has been Lickin' on Lending, a weekly mortgage market update with your host, David Lickin, of Mortgage Banking Solutions, enabling executives to take their business to the next level. Today's guests were Joe Farr from MBS Quoteline, Andy Schell of Mortgage Banking Solutions, and Alice Alvey, President CMB of Mortgage U. Come by next week, and thank you for listening.